Thanks for tuning in to Go to Market Radio. Every episode, we'll be getting up close and personal with GTM leaders and experts so you can learn the secrets of their success. Looking to take your team to the next level? You're in the right place. Every week, we're bringing you an exclusive podcast from the Alliance Archives that highlights a core aspect of GTM. If you love this episode as much as we do, make sure to subscribe and we'll keep you up to date with all the latest on our channel.
CMO Combo is back and we're diving into another conversation with a marketing leader on what's shaping the world of marketing right now. We're speaking to Yannick Padar, CMO for a portfolio of fintech solutions under the BPCE umbrella. And we're talking about the importance of building strong connections with your CFO as a CMO. Yannick, welcome to CMO Combo. How are you doing today?
Hey, Will, I'm doing great. Doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you. Thank you for speaking to us today. I'm really excited about this conversation because it's a question that a lot of CMOs have to tackle and have to answer every day. Like, how do you get like investment from the CFO to engage in a lot of the strategies that you want to work on? Particularly strategies that might not necessarily be seen as main revenue drivers, like particularly stuff like building up brand marketing, that kind of thing. Like it's tough to get that kind of money out of a CFO to really pay for that kind of thing. But before we get into that, maybe you could introduce yourself to our audience, tell us a bit about yourself and your background, Yannick.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot. So my name is Yannick Padar. I'm a US citizen living in Paris right now, absolutely loving it. My background has been in B2B tech sales out in the US in Washington, DC area, working with Dell. Later on, pivoted into product marketing at companies like LinkedIn in San Francisco, and then recently decided to relocate to Paris to join the hypergrowth kind of tech market here, leading product marketing in a HR payroll company that actually became a unicorn now called PayFit, and most recently ended up pivoting into BPC Group, which is basically the second largest financial group in France and fifth in Europe. So in my role now, I'm kind of overseeing growth and marketing strategy for a portfolio of fintech startups.
Fantastic. And that product marketing background, do you think it's given you like a particular approach to the CMO role? Like, are you approaching it in a very product marketing way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think honestly, product marketing for me has been a massive career builder, just because you're really at the intersection of so many parts of the business model. You have to understand who's the target market, exactly who's the buyer persona, what are their challenges, how does our product meet those challenges and provide value, and what pricing strategy. You work with the product team to prioritize product roadmap. You work with the marketing teams to organize a launch. You work with the sales team to, help increase win rates and pitch the product. And you work with customer success to help with adoption and upsell, right? So you're really working across the entire, at least key pieces of the business model. And for me, it's been an absolute, a growth driver just for my career, because I approach marketing from a product marketing background. I think the biggest thing that's helping me do is just have a much better understanding of how to align cross-functional partners, because by default, that's what you're doing all the time in product marketing. And so even the way that I've built my team as a CMO, the objective for me is to be able to enable product market fit and accelerate profitable growth. So there is the necessity to be able to help the business identify who's the real target, how should our product answer to their needs, and at what pricing strategy to build a sustainable business model so that you can then accelerate profitable growth, right? And so I think even just the way that I define the CMO role, in the various companies that I'm leading is maybe a little bit different from your traditional CMO.
And it's good that you've mentioned working cross-functionally and working with different stakeholders within the business, because that is what we're talking about today. It's about having that relationship with your CFO. Yeah. And it might seem fairly obvious to our listeners to say, like, oh, you need to have a good relationship with your CFO. They're the people holding the purse strings at the end of the day. But it goes a bit deeper than that. So let's talk about, why is it important to have a good relationship with the CFO, besides just like being able to have a good relationship with the people you're working with? Like, what really are the benefits of having a good working relationship with your CFO?
Yeah, I mean, the CFO is such an instrumental part to any business. I mean, they're managing, you know, the cash, the assets, the liabilities of a business to be able to grow the business profitably, right? And you can be the best business in the world. If you run out of cash, it's game over, right? And so they're the gatekeeper to unlock opportunities for you as well, because let's face it, in terms of marketing, you do need to spend to get that ROI, right? And so in order to do that, you have to have a really good relationship with your CFO, because the CFO is managing the cash. The CFO is creating different philosophies in terms of how much cash to allocate to marketing, whether it's for hiring, whether it's for tools, whether it's for performance kind of budget in terms of ad strategy and so on. And so you have to be able to have a great relationship with this person so that they can obviously trust you, respect you, and give you the kind of budget you need to get to your goals so that the business can grow. And in some, sometimes when you have a distant relationship with your CFO, they don't really know who you are. They don't really know what you're capable of. They don't really have a good understanding of what marketing is. They might see it as just like a spend, on the budget line item. And so you have to really understand how do you shift that the way of thinking. And the way to do that is really just make sure that you're close. You have often great conversations with this person. You show how your role and your projects can relate to obviously positive influences on his P&L. Right. So we can go into, I think there's so much to dive into that. We can talk about that. But in general, I mean, the CFO is someone that can help unlock growth, and you need this person on your team.
You definitely do. You definitely do as well, particularly because they're not just assigning budget towards the marketing team. They're assigning all the budgets for all the different departments. So you've got to be able to show the value of marketing against the value of other departments, the value of sales, the value of product. And that can be really hard to do. Hard to attribute value to a lot of marketing. And that's got to be tricky. So what are the expectations that CMOs have, that CFOs even have for marketing departments? Like you said, if they're feeling distant, they might just see it as a spend. And that's a very dangerous position to be as a CMO. So what are the usual expectations in what the CFO wants?
At least how I see it is the CFO would want a marketing strategist or a CMO that is capable of showing the growth strategy for the business, capable of understanding who do we need to go after, for what reasons that's going to help accelerate cash flow, customer acquisition at the best profitable price for the business. Now, I'm cautioning it here because obviously it depends where you are in your just overall life cycle. If you're an early stage startup, if you're in hypergrowth mode, if you're more mature, obviously your strategy and how much your marketing budget as a percentage of revenue is going to fluctuate, right? But in general, they're looking for the marketing partner to be able to give a clear line on the buyer persona, on what it takes to close that deal, and then what pricing strategy so that we can accelerate a business profitably.
And that's fairly easy to do with like short-term strategies like demand gen and stuff like that, and paid media. Like you're able to show clearly, like, this is how much we can spend, this is how much we can expect to get back, this is how much will eventually lead to conversions. But how do you do that with sort of more long-term strategies like SEO, with like content, like brand marketing activities? Like how do you show that kind of value? How do you show the numbers that they need to see?
I think first, it's very important to gain the CFO's trust, and you have to let this person know that you understand their world. They're trying to manage a business sustainably. If you can show them that you understand the world, if you can show them that what you're doing is going to drive cash flow, it's going to create a stronger growth engine, a stronger pipeline, it's going to increase LTV, which is customer lifetime value, it's going to lower customer acquisition cost, it's going to increase or decrease your payback period from 12 months to 7 months. I mean, whenever you can show that what you're doing is going to help the numbers that he or she is looking at, is going to be the biggest way to get traction, to get budget, to get alignment with this person. Then also you have to be strategic, because you're going to want to make sure that a significant part of your budget is allocated towards things that will obviously produce ROI, or that will be easy to track. in terms of performance, in terms of lead gen, in terms of sales cycle, in terms of upsell strategies and so on. But then you have things like you mentioned that are a bit more brand focused, like you're looking at, hey, let's say you want to put some posters in the metro, right, across all of London. Obviously, something like that, it's very, very hard, but you want to place these at strategic moments, whether it's during a launch or whether it's doing a big field event happening in that area where you want to make sure your posters, your brand is up there. So yes, it's hard to quantify the ROI there, but if you can position that spend logically to something else happening with the company at that time, it's a bit easier to gain, you know, that budget, right? But still, you still want to have maybe 80% of your budget that's more something that can have direct ROI or potentially easy to track, and then 20% on that kind of, you know, brand kind of area. But you mentioned SEO, and I do think that SEO is, I guess it depends how you assess SEO, SEA, but at the end of the day, it's about being indexed in Google or any kind of search engine to make sure that you pop up as quickly as possible and that people click on your website over your competitor's website. So as long as you can show that there's growth happening on the website in terms of more and more people coming to your website as a result of that SEO strategy, and then as a result of more people coming on the website, we're now capturing more leads, right? So there's still always a way to kind of draw that straight line towards, hey, this has a positive effect to spend in that category.
I like that idea of attaching request for money to the landmark moments, like kind of piggybacking on the back of other people's I don't want to say achievements, but what other aspects of the business are getting involved with it. Does that mean you have to work closely with other departments to work out the marketing budget in that respect? Like, do you have to make sure you're coordinating with other people besides the CFO to make sure that the CFO is getting the full information they need?
In terms of budget for the marketing team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is why I think going towards customer acquisition costs and LTV, I mean, a lot of these things are very cross-functional, because customer acquisition costs there's a lot of things that can affect it. Of course, it's, you know, your ad spend for lead generation, but it can also be, you know, the length of your sales cycle. It could also be the lifetime value that a customer produces in terms of how long they stay with you, the churn rate, the upsell rate, things like that. And so great conversations with the CFO are also ones that are cross-functional, where you're bringing in sales, you're bringing in customer success. Sometimes you're even bringing in product, because you're in a product-led growth kind of strategy, where it's like you go on the website, you sign up, you're already in the product, plug and play, right? And so sometimes product is even in that conversation as well. So as long, the more you can have kind of a cross-functional approach to your strategy, the better it is. And so, yeah, go ahead.
So it's really about showing how anything that you do in terms of marketing can support other aspects of the business. You're not thinking about marketing on its own. You're thinking about how it supports other aspects of the business. So that one,
exactly.
What you're
exactly.
Saying,
yeah. I honestly feel that marketing, I call marketing market king. So everyone who's on my team knows that I see marketing as market king, in the sense that you are literally responsible for understanding who are we going after, what's going to be the value propositions, what's going to be the revenue stream, what's going to be your customer acquisition channels. Like, you are responsible for a big, big chunk of the entire business model. Which are the partners that we can work with in terms of commercial partners, product partners, and so on. And so, you know, as a result, like, you should have a very strong voice. And I think the ones that tend to think of marketing as being at the center of the business model tend to do a bit better, because they tend to learn more about revenue streams, learn more about pricing strategy, learn more about customer acquisition costs versus LTV ratios, right? You start to be more financially focused, as opposed to your traditional CMO that's potentially more brand, more content, more digital marketing focused.
And I suppose having that kind of language, that finance language as well, that's going to be a skill that's quite hard to learn, quite hard to develop. Like, I mean, you're in fintech, so I'm assuming you're kind of surrounded by this kind of language all the time. But what about What about other CMOs who might not be in the finance world? How can they go about getting to grips with this kinds of language?
Yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, I think that is one of the biggest weaknesses of any marketing person typically, is that they're sometimes even shy of having that kind of financial conversation with the CFO. And honestly, when I knew that I was going to get a CMO role, I knew that one of the biggest weaknesses is like financial aspect. And so I ended up like reaching out to as many CFOs as possible and having conversations with just random CFOs in terms of, how do they measure ROI? How do they, think about a budget allocation towards different teams? I started picking up several books. I even picked up a couple of books from Warren Buffett and his team in terms of how do they pick stocks? How do they invest in companies? Because all of it is literally line by line, looking at the P&L, looking at profit and loss, looking at cash allocations, looking at assets. And so I just started to really think of a business like an investor. And that kind of gave me the language to be able to have a great conversation with the CFO. So there's lots of blogs, there's lots of books, there's lots of podcasts. I literally told myself, I'm going to be a CFO in training right now for 30 days. And I just binged as much as I could about different various sources, whether it's book, audio, seminars, webinars, on topics of the CFO, to really be able to have a much better conversation. The key piece there really quickly was understanding what are the challenges that CFOs have today, so that I can see how I can position any kind of idea or strategic big bet towards those challenges.
I suppose one way of identifying those challenges, particularly when it's particular to the company that you're working in, is to speak to the CFO about the challenges they're facing. Like have an honest conversation with them about what can marketing do to help them, rather than just going in throwing loads of vanity metrics and say like, oh, if we do this, we can get more Twitter followers and stuff like that. Like have an actual understanding of what they need from you. And that's going to open up doors, both in terms of building this professional relationship, also this personal relationship as well. It goes towards that kind of trust level that you were talking about earlier. Like, have you found that useful?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I told one of the first things I did when I came in as a CMO at Group PPC was really to make sure that I'm speaking with the CFO right away. So I ended up kind of scheduling meetings with everyone around the C-suite, but then with the CFO, one of the things that we did right after our first introductory meeting is like, hey, can you talk to me about the P&L? Can you walk me through literally line by line? What do you find great here? What are the weaknesses? What are the strengths? What are opportunities? Where are threats? And literally he did a SWOT on the P&L, and it gave me a really good understanding of, in terms of, we had issues with revenue diversification, right? We had a large segment of like a large enterprise company, but the problem with that is, it's typically long sell cycle. So it takes long to convert. As well, you have like, just a few concentrated account that's pretty much in charge of the P&L. And so we were talking about how we could diversify just kind of revenue by opening up mid-market, things like that. And so it was just great conversations just from looking at his challenges to be able to see how marketing can help. And in that one conversations, I figured out that, we have potentially some segments that are not profitable because they have a high acquisition cost and potentially they churn faster than others. And so, my next step was then to talk with the head of operations, who's also overlooking customer success, so that we could then dive deeply into the customer portfolio, understanding how long it's taken to onboard them, how many tickets are being created, and what kind of implications that has on the operations team, looking at the overall lifetime value. And so with customer success and finance, and then speaking to sales to just kind of send sales cycle and so on, I had a really good idea or hunch of maybe where we should start doubling down on. And that was kind of the beginning of a deep dive research to understand which segment is the most profitable.
And then doing that early as well has got to be extremely beneficial. If you've presented to the CFO, like, listen, we're on the same page, we've got the same targets, we've got the same goals, it's going to make it easier to maybe move the needle on certain aspects that might be otherwise a hard sell in that respect. Yeah. Like if you say, oh, we need to spend money on a rebrand at some point, we need to change our logo, like the CFO might be like, what good would that do? But if you've confidently laid out early on that you are working towards certain goals, the route to get there, the CFO will trust you more, surely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, I think one of the, we didn't talk about this yet, but I kind of have this framework where I have six indicators of success. And well, the first one is product market fit, which is, you know, the capacity to have the right product at the right, for the right market at the right price to accelerate growth. And so you can look at overall just kind of conversion rates from, you know, reaching out to a customer to did you get the meeting or not? These kind of, there's a lot of different indicators that you can see at the top of the funnel to understand if you have the right product, services with the market fit. Looking at growth as well. So, you know, how many leads are we generating through which channels? So inbound, outbound partnerships, what are the conversion rates? You know, are we 25% conversion rates on inbound, maybe 15 on outbound, and just kind of understanding how that's working, average deal size, average sales cycle, just really analyzing things step by step. The third piece was looking at the brand as well. So overall brand, how many followers we have on LinkedIn. Was great with that because the more followers you have on LinkedIn, the more idea you have of kind of like people who are interested in your brand, in your products, and your services. So you can also create targeted campaigns, which is also lowering CAC, by the way. Then there's the customer marketing piece. How quickly are we at kind of delivering the value that we promised, at ensuring that our customers can get up and running fast, that they have the right resources, the information to know how to use the product. So I can look at NPS, I can look at customer satisfaction, I can look at customer effort score. And then of course I look at P&L and then I look at talent. Talent is the last piece because talent is our ability to attract talent so that we can grow the business. And so are we getting a lot of applications? Do we have great talent coming in? How quickly are we onboarding them? And so even the way that I position marketing, I'm actually looking at multiple indicators throughout the business. And these are the things that build confidence because they're like, okay, we have a player here who's thinking about the whole team and who's not just thinking about marketing. And the great piece about marketing is that you're at the center and you can influence all these things: product market fit, growth, brand, customer marketing, P&L, talent. You can literally influence all of those indicators. And so that's why I really love this position.
Excellent. That's a framework makes perfect sense. Is it something you've shared with the rest of the company? Are they aware of this, the framework that you're using for success, or is this something you keep internal?
No. That's actually one of the first things I did. So in my first 3 days, I did like a analysis of these six indicators. I presented it to the C-suite. I told them, hey, here's exactly how I'm evaluating the business. And here's where I think we're red. Here's where I think we're green. Here's where I think we're yellow. And those were just absolutely great ways to kind of start a conversation. So for example, I did believe that we had the right product market fit, but I thought that the growth engine had a lot of issues for a couple of reasons. One, the CRM just didn't have all the information we needed. It was hard to see when we reached out to someone. The lead scoring was, you know, a little, you know, could be improved. And so I literally just started pinpointing at different points of those six indicators. And it was just amazing conversations for the C-suite because, you know, even at the C-suite level, you might have people that are just specialists of what they know, and they're not necessarily thinking about the cross-functional impact across. And that's why marketing is a great enabler of bringing people together. You know, I call it marketing should be number 10 on the soccer field, the quarterback on the football pitch. But like, that's literally your role. You have to go all the way up to the deep to the offense with your sales team and customer success teams. And you have to go all the way back to your defense with your dev team and your product team and even finance and legal and security. Right. And so you need to be able to actually go up and down the field. And that maybe that comes from my previous kind of sports days, but I really see that as like you're running in the middle of the field with everyone and you have a lot of responsibility and stamina that you need to have.
But being that kind of leader on the pitch as well, you've got to have a good relationship with the equipment manager, which is the CFO, and being able to explain why you need certain equipment, why you need certain certain training regimes and stuff like that, why you need to pay for that kind of stuff. So when it comes to explaining this framework to the rest of the C-suite, in particular the CFO, a lot of that did come across as very, very marketing language. Like how do you break through the jargon that often puts like other members of the C-suite to, unfortunately, to sleep? They don't like hearing a lot of marketing jargon. Like how do you break it down into terms that is clearly understandable to everyone across the C-suite and all the key stakeholders involved?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think you're totally right. Just with any department, there could be a lot of jargon, and marketing is definitely one of them for sure. I think the biggest thing is to ensure that everyone knows that we're literally, everyone in the room is responsible for flying this aircraft, which I call the business, right? And so with the business, you have your products and services, you have your marketing and your sales team to drive acquisition. You have your financial team that's there to just ensure cash is doing, you know, well. You have your security, tech, and liabilities that's to make sure that, you know, the aircraft doesn't sink because we're getting, you know, hit with lawsuits or, you know, technical difficulties or getting targeted by, you know, any kind of, you know, hackers and stuff like that. And so, but at the end of the day, we're all here to ensure that we have a sustainable product and business model that is creating value for the market, and that is also ensuring that we continue to grow so we can add value to ourselves and our teams. And so whenever I'm presenting a topic, I'm presenting from the perspective of a business and not presenting from the perspective of marketing. And so in terms of a business, you need to be able to have the right product for the market. You need to have the right pricing strategy and customer acquisition strategy to acquire customers so that you can fuel the cash engine, and the cash engine can reinvest into other aspects of the business. And so I'm always trying to talk about things in a way that it makes sense. And so there's, I don't know if you know, Donald Miller, he wrote a book called Building a Story Brand. And he also wrote a book called Business Made Simple, where he kind of talks about how you just make business simple. And he uses a plane analogy, which is something I use all the time to make sure that, like, I can explain things in a very easy way for everyone to understand. But to come back to your question is just, how can you make it as simple as possible? How can you bring it back to the business and the customer? And how can you make sure that everyone feels included in what you're discussing? And so when we talk about product market fit, product is included. If you have any kind of pricing monetization teams, they're included. You know, the customer success team is included, right? So there's a lot of different teams that are included when I talk the way that I do.
Definitely, definitely. So this all sounds great. We're working well with the CFO with this approach. What if it's not working? Is there a point where you should go over the CFO's head, or is it time to walk away from the business if you don't have that clear relationship with the CFO, and you find you have to go over the CEO's head, over to the CEO? Is it irreparable at that point? Have you lost that relationship completely, or is there a way to try and build things back? I don't know if this is something that's happened to you in your experience. You don't have to name names. If you had, but say you did encounter this situation, what would be your approach?
That's a great question, man. The CFO is not the end all be all, but it's definitely a great person that you need to have on your side. At the end of the day, key players are going to be your traditional sales, right? Your sales is obviously your partner in crime. That's the person that you are literally working with to ensure that we can go out and acquire customers in a sustainable fashion. So sales is always going to be key. Obviously CEO, right? And then it depends, because CEOs typically, you have a lot of different types of CEOs out there. You have CEOs that are tech focused, you know, literally they come from kind of like the engineering background. You have CEOs that are sales focused, they come from a sales background, and you have CEOs that are marketing focused as well. And so the way that you work with those different CEOs are different, of course, but obviously if you have, you know, alignment with the CEO and you're aligned on the OKRs and on the objectives, you know, key results of the of your team and of the business, and you're showing how marketing team will influence those in a positive way, typically that's great, because the CEO obviously, you know, is number one when it comes to the C-suite and can help also unlock budget, which is some of the things that I've had to do sometimes when obviously managing in a portfolio. I can also tell you that I work with different types of CFOs. There's CFOs that see the value of marketing, and the CFOs that see marketing as just a budget line item. And in one of those cases where the CFO kind of saw marketing as just a budget line item, of course, we don't have the best relationship. They already have this kind of predetermined way of, you know, viewing marketing, and it's kind of hard to break through this person. But as long as I can kind of show him more and more in terms of how my numbers impact his number or her numbers in a positive way, then that's what I do. But I also did go over this person and just go straight to the CEO, and with the CEO, we unlocked more budget. And then he basically told our CFO, hey, let's get extra hires, let's get a bit more budget, let's prove validate some of these tools that's going to help us be more efficient, because the CEO is a lot more kind of business or cross-functional minded than the CFO in this company. So yeah, it doesn't mean you have to leave, of course, but it does mean that sometimes you can be some resistance for new strategic projects.
Yeah, but it's not, you shouldn't be going over the head for every single thing. Like, it should be a last resort, I'm assuming. Like, you're not going to be going on there if you say they don't want to give you more money for pens. Like, you're not going to go to the CEO and say, listen, we need more pens. Like, it's got to be something that's very important at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always trying to focus on ROI in general. I remember one of the first things, meetings I came on when we were setting OKRs for marketing, and someone said something about, you know, visitors on the website. And I'm like, that's not a key result I want to measure. I want to measure how much, what's the conversion rate on the website. That's a much better metric to see. And as well as how many leads are we generating? Those are much better. And then while we're at it, how much marketing source revenue, you know, did we generate in that year? And so I'm always trying to be as ROI focused as possible. I don't particularly care as much about followers. There's a lot of just pretty stats that I just don't look at, honestly, because that's not what's going to drive growth. Especially when you're in a hyper-growth environment, you have aggressive goals. You're looking at lead gen and conversion rates per channel and trying to see how you can accelerate that.
Yeah, but there's no room for vanity metrics, especially when you're talking to a CFO. Like, they don't care how much engagement we're getting on a social post. They want to know how much that engagement's going to result in increased revenue at the end of the day. So let's sum everything up. Like, what are some golden rules for working with the CFO, as maybe is the final thing to tie everything together? Like, do you maybe have like two or three golden rules, or more golden rules if you got them?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing I would say is to show this person that you understand their world and care about their world. Make sure that before you talk about you talk about them. That's one of the first things I did, was like, hey, walk me through your world, walk me through your P&L right now. What looks good? Where do you have difficulties? Where can I potentially help? So that first piece is very important, just to show that it's not about you. It's about, you know, understanding the CFO's world. The second thing is, whatever project you bring to the CFO, obviously when you need more budget, you need more hiring that wasn't obviously budgeted. Like, when I joined, you know, budget was already set for the next year when I joined, because I joined around October, November time, and budget for the following year was already set. And the way that I was able to get more budget in terms of hiring, in terms of getting access to more tools, in terms of increasing, you know, our ad spend in general, was because I was able to show how this could help us be more efficient. So I was able to show that it can help cut the sales cycle in half. It can help increase our deal sizes. It can help increase our overall customer lifetime value, which means they stay with us longer, right? And so, you know, the more you can tie any kind of projects you have to metrics that they care about, because remember, they're thinking about cash, about assets, and about liabilities, right? So if you're doing something that is helping the cash situation or the asset situation, or potentially influencing the liabilities in a positive way, these, you know, your CFO is all ears, you know, and you obviously need to be able to show the, you know, a plan to how to get there, right? But as long as you learn about them, as long as you tie your metrics, your projects, your ask to their numbers, you'll be in a good situation. Awesome. Or a better situation, I should say.
A better situation, yes, yeah. Awesome. Thank you very much, Unique. This has been fantastic. Yeah, as I said at the top of the show, like, it's a very, very important discussion to have. The relationship with the CFO and the CMO is always going to be important. And it's going to be important to our audience as well, of course. I'm sure they've appreciated listening today. Thank you very much for listening. And thank you again, Unique, for joining us on the show today. We'll be back soon with some more CMO combos.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. We'll appreciate it.